You're listening to Wisdom of the Ancients, where ancient wisdom is remembered.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to Wisdom of the Ancients webinar series. So glad you're here with us today. We're going to have an incredible conversation. I can just feel it. I'm your host, Ian Shelley, and I'm so happy that you've joined us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks for being here in the energy of the community and the collective consciousness. The Wisdom of the Ancients series is about ancient wisdom. It's about what was once known, what might be forgotten now, what wants to come through. Ancient practices, knowledge, and wisdom, not only from our own planet, but from other worlds, galaxies, and dimensions too. Now, ancient also means remembering our true core, our own true self, our pure self, the greatest version of ourselves that we can be, our higher selves. And so this series theme is vessels of love, light, and service. May we all be open to receiving any messages the divine has for us, so that we become a true offering and do our part to help raise the collective consciousness for all beings in all realms. And so right now we call on the ancient ones to support us and to open our hearts. So let me introduce our next guest to you. Althea Provost was born with her spiritual gift intact, a natural clairvoyant with a propensity for precognition and an unshakable knowing her home was in the stars. Althea considers herself a soul traveler on an endless journey, drawn in by a sense of wonder for the unknown. A perpetual student with notepad in hand, she enjoys sharing knowledge gained from direct experience. As an energetic teacher and soul writer, she serves to empower starseeds, light workers, and awakened folks everywhere. Althea meets you where you are, and together, higher self to higher self, provides now-moment guidance. Her company, Thea's Heart, offers starseed adventures to sacred sites for initiation, activation, and to awaken others to their next level of awareness. Her YouTube channel, Inner TV, provides collective collaboration with spiritual teachers to share starseed conversations, wisdom, and insights to assist and support global awakening. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Althea to the show. Welcome.
Thanks, Ian. Hi, starseeds. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me on your show and introducing me to your audience.
Oh, absolutely. It's my pleasure. This was meant to be. So we're super excited to have this conversation. And the topic today, everyone, is energetic cloud busting. So how's that? I mean, that's going to be an interesting conversation, energetic cloud busting. So things that you'll experience on the call today, understanding higher dimensional empathic system, recognizing your emotional bandwidth and action steps and techniques to uncover your heart song. Plus, as always, we're going to open up the phones. So *2 to raise your hand if you'd like to ask Althea a question, *2 to raise your hand or put your question in the question box. So many of you have already done that, so you can go ahead and do that right now, and we'll get to as many as we can. But, you know, Althea, since this is actually the first time that we're having you on the show, there might be people, I'm guessing, who may not have worked with you before. And so if you wouldn't mind, in your own words, just give us a little bit of a background on yourself, maybe a little bit less formally, as I mentioned in the beginning, just letting people know who you are and what you do.
Sure. Well, I'll start with today and where I'm at. This is about being an embodied soul. That's moving your body, that little fraction of the piece of spark light that you are, into this physical body, turning on the empathic system. That means there's no difference between you and me, that what you're feeling, I'm feeling. And what is happening in your life, I can sense, feel, or know. And in that way, we're moving away from separation, that separation consciousness that has been on this planet for so long. And so it takes a level of responsibility to be able to feel these emotions deeply and yet not become them, becoming somebody else, still staying strong and true to your heart song, your true vibration, your frequency, but at the same time not choosing separation, where we would start disconnecting from everyone and everything and our responsibility to the whole. So that's what's happening right now, but I was born with that. And I went through my peaks and valleys with that information and those responses and that type of experience in my earthly walkabout, and had my dark night of the soul at 10. Started at 8 and then pretty much concluded at 10, would put my finger in my ears and just kind of make a lot of noise so I didn't have to hear Source talking to me. source guiding me, source moving me through life. I've just cut it off. So I've been through the emotional range of knowing what it's like to be extremely connected, both cosmically and here on Earth, and then disconnected by choice, and then coming back into the reunion of connection. So I teach from this wisdom.
Beautiful. So you, at a very young age, experienced what some people might be experiencing now, and some people might not have gone through that. You spoke about, or you mentioned, being empathetic or being an empath, and how we all feel, so what you experience, I experience. Can you talk a little bit more about what that really means?
So in a session, and also with my daily life, although I have pretty strong energetic boundaries, I can feel somebody else's physical symptoms. And that physical symptoms can be in this lifetime, in a previous, I wouldn't say lifetime, but in a previous life stream. So if they had ancient wounding, I can point right to it. If their soul wants me to know that information, it will show up in my body. There is no blocking it. So I will feel someone's disease, their, you know, misthoughts, their miscreations, whatever they're doing, I feel it. So there is no boundary in that way. I'm not in their energy field. My body mirrors it. So if you're familiar with Giacomo Rizzolatti, I think his name is, he's an Italian scientist. He came up with mirror neurons. That's that front part of your lobal brain, the front part of your brain, like firing up so that you're actually mirroring somebody else's emotions. That's why a lot of people are having that tension in their front of their headache, like almost like a headache or pressure when they're starting to awaken, because we're coming into that mirroring effect, that empathetic system turning on. So it's a sensory experience. So essentially that's what I feel. So I can feel someone's joy, their illness. I can feel their subconscious desires. And so it's like feel first, then think. I feel first.
So you have a degree of empathetic feeling, a large degree of empathetic feeling. So there, I think there's a continuum, or there's a spectrum of empaths, where someone might only be feeling that, or they might only feel that a little bit, and they're not quite sure what they're feeling. And then you have someone like yourself on the other end of the spectrum who knows exactly what you're feeling, and you know what it is, and you understand that. What would you say to someone who is experiencing something, you know, to a lesser degree, but really just trying to understand what they are feeling?
I think Dr. Elaine Aaron came up with a terminology like highly sensitive people. And those are people who are like becoming sensitive to light or sound, you know, who have like a low threshold for stimulation. Generally, those are people who can't be in groups, would definitely avoid them all. You know, maybe the party scene, in and out really quick, get me out, you know, because they're starting to absorb other people's energies and it doesn't feel good. And at the same time, when they're absorbing it, they're having a difficult time understanding that this is not mine. You know, this anger I'm feeling or anxiousness or upsetness or just overstimulation is not my emotion. So they start to have a difficult time navigating those realms. They're on the precursor, they're precursors to full-blown empaths, which is where we're going in our evolution for the people who have chosen to really be a part of this new earth. So this is a slow walk, you could call it, but I think it's becoming more advanced, and I think we're in an acceleration, so people are getting it more whammed today than they would be, say, 20 years ago, when you can slowly try, you know, move yourself into better diet, better environment. But today it's more like, what is happening to me? A lot of people are at that place.
Yeah.
It's
so
sensory stimulation and overwhelm.
Okay. So let's say I'm that person. And what are some of the practical, I would say, maybe tips that you could give me to help me better comprehend what's going on with me, and then also really start to celebrate what I'm going through, you know, because it
right.
is. Yeah.
Yes, it's exactly it, because the tips and tools will will carry over even when you go full-blown. So what I do is I feel it. I don't negate it. So I don't push it off, and I don't kick the can down the street. Okay? It's like the psychic hot potato. I don't throw it at somebody. I feel it. And I breathe deeply into it. So I take it into my heart. I breathe into it. And sometimes in the beginning, I would say, is this mine? And I would get a physical sensation of a yes or a no. Or I'd feel like it was or it wasn't. So, again, I'm coming back to the feeling body. I'd ask myself. And then if it wasn't my energy, it wasn't so much a return to sender because it already ended up in my field. So it's covering the earth, you see? So in that sense, I would create a portal. I usually do a diamond because it's source consciousness. And I would direct the energy back to source. So I was basically doing a cleanup crew. I'm pushing the energy back into the portal, back to source, and then I'd close it. So lifting the energy from the earth and from my vibratory field. Now, if that's too difficult and just seems like that's something someone doesn't feel empowered to do, what I would do, what the old shamans would do, is you can pick up a stone and you can fill that stone with the energy. And then you can toss it onto the earth or into the water. This is very old shamanic work. And ask the earth to mulch it. So if you're a tactile person, that could work as well. If you're a visual person, try forming the pyramid and sending the energy in. And then practice good hygiene. Ground your body. Clear your body using your breath or light or any color of light that you like. Shield your body. I call it putting your energetic bubble around you, being aware that you are an energetic field and clearing that with source light. Those are some of the things I do.
Yeah, you could carry a pocket full of stones around with you.
So a lot you of people have do. One.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Let's talk a little bit about ley lines. You know, ley lines have quite a large impact on, you know, what you're going through. You know, you either support it, and there's certainly a lot of energy around ley lines. Can you just, for the sake of everyone on the call, let's pretend that we don't know what ley lines are, and just go through what are ley lines. And then I'll follow up with the secondary question around how they could impact you.
Oh, wonderful. I love teaching about ley lines. So ley lines are like your veins through your body. They're a river of flow of energy. Like they're essentially Earth's magnetic field, and they crisscross as well as form straight lines across the globe. They're not only on the Earth, they're in the earth. And then if you have advanced psychic or you have psychic sight, you can also see them above the earth. But that's a different story. So ley lines. The ancient Chinese called them dragon lines. Spirit lines were what the Peruvians call it. The Irish say fairy paths. The Australian aboriginals call them song lines or dreaming tracks. In fact, they used to walk the vast deserts with their bare foot on the lines, and that's how they knew to move from town to town or get from one place to the other, like an inner GPS, because they could feel the rhythm of the earth as they walked, and they could feel when they've stepped off that magnetic line. So these lines crisscross, like I said, and they're aligned oftentimes to ceremonial centers and to like mounds, cairns, long barrows, standing stones, sacred circles, henges that our ancient Neolithic ancestors built. They're also today sometimes called like the Mary and Michael lines in Europe, where you see castles and churches or power structures along the line, because they create an upward magnetic field that truthfully opens up and supports whatever is built on top of it. And the work by the late, who is it, John Burke, I think his book is called Seeds of Knowledge, he crisscrossed these lines with his magnometer, basically creating profiles on these lines, and he started to feel like a heart attack because he was going in and out of these things willy-nilly on some level. And our ancient Neolithic ancestors created pathways, very sacred ceremonial pathways where you entered into these circles or mounds in a specific way because they're aligned with the positions of suns and moons and planets. Anyway, so these very empowering alignments can take a seed, which was John Burke's work, take a seed, you can place it there during certain times of the year, and that seed would be 10 times, 30 times more powerful than it was if it was not in that center. So it would grow more. It wouldn't require Wow. pesticides. These are the things scientifically that are associated with the ley lines. Now, I was called out by spirit, and I've done over a decade of travel to these sacred sites and walked these ley lines. So I know a little bit what I'm talking about, and I still take groups today. And what I found is that when being in these certain areas during astronomical alignments, you can advance the soul, especially if the soul is calling you, your spirit is calling you to these specific places. You could advance the soul like a seed. You pop it, you germinate it, you awaken. That's how I look at these ley lines.
Yeah. So there's these ley lines that seem to be powerful and germane to no matter who is in the proximity of the ley lines. Do we have individual ley lines and maybe ley lines related to our aura?
I wouldn't. Well, aura. Okay, so I would look at it, you have ley lines specific to your blood coding. So if you've come into this lifetime with certain blood coding, yes, you do. In fact, when I was called, I think it was about 2008, I was called to Mexico. And I went, and I stepped my feet onto Tzipnokak, and that's in the Yucatan. And the minute my feet hit that land imprint, those ley lines, I came into full memory, full cognition of my time there as a scribe, a Mayan scribe. And I remembered the songs, the clapping, how to enter into that ceremonial center, and what I did when I was there. So, yes, they can basically awaken once again your own blood coding and be favorable to your own evolution. They can also work in reverse. In some sense, if you've been in a ceremony or a certain place where you have almost a foreboding to go to, you know, something didn't quite go right in your evolution. So, for example, if you went to South of France and you were at Montségur and you had a lifetime where you were killed as a Cathar, you know, stepping back into that very powerful energetic center wouldn't be very fun for you.
Mm, right. So if someone is seeking to advance or accelerate their own personal ascension journey, their own soul's ascension process, would you suggest then that they visit these really powerful places along certain ley lines?
I would suggest that they check in with their spirit and ask their spirit to guide them forward, because it's about divine timing. You would want to be there at the right time, the right, if your spirit is calling you, you'll know there'll be a pull, almost a magnetic pull from your heart. And, you know, I would say start there. It's not a mental thing, because you can go to a site and have no experience whatsoever. When I was at Chichen Itza, again, here in the Yucatan, I walked in and my third eye burst out a beam of light, and I was able to look around and see with that beam of light with my eyes closed, because I couldn't keep it open. The beam was too bright. I could look around and see whose third eye was open and who wasn't. So there was people walking there, and it was just a pile of rocks. That's what one man said to me. I came all the way from Germany. This is a pile of rocks. I turned to the Mayan next to me. His third eye was open, and we just smiled at each other.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to be called. There's a certain reason, timing to your own evolution. We must be patient on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is there anything else regarding ley lines that you might want to share with the audience that might be coming through to share?
I do. I want to say that oftentimes what we're coming into is generating enough magnetism within the heart. So our heart is a powerful electrical magnetic center. And what happens is when we gain enough magnetism within our own aura, like you said, then we can positively affect others, the weather, with solar flares, the grid system, the ley lines that are underneath our feet. And we can transfer information. So if we have a wisdom that we're meant to share on this planet, we can lock our feet onto that fifth dimensional grid system and download that information into the grid system so other people who are awakening can put their feet onto the grid and connect to that knowledge, like almost like the World Wide Web, but we're doing it with electrical fields. So we're sharing, we're constantly sharing the information. It's not about holding things to ourselves, and it's not about having superior knowledge over somebody else. We're in accelerated time in the sense that this is the time to share the information. If there's a resource, you know, put that resource down into the grid system.
Right. Yeah, that just really resonates. So how does one go about increasing the magnetism of their heart?
So one of the things that I like to do, of course, is sacred travel, but I do realize not everybody can and probably not everybody should. But I would say the stronger your energy is, the more you radiate. So one of the things that you can start doing is having the courage. Courage comes from the heart, cœur in French. So that's allowing yourself to be authentic and live in a soul-nourishing way. If you're in an environment that isn't supporting you, that isn't, you know, that people around you aren't in the same type of vibration as you, it's time to consider moving. It's time to consider finding some type of environment that really, truly matches your own energy expression. I also think just almost understanding that your presence is your birthright, so that is your right to have that energy field. And as you learn to directly communicate with your own needs, I think understanding that your needs have to come in a balanced way, not like you ditch the baby and you go run off to some sacred site. I would caution you on that. I would say come back. Let's talk about how you're getting your needs met. Ask spirit, how can I take care of my family and move forward in my evolution? So not an or, an and. So coming back to basic needs, because if your basic needs aren't met, you're not going to open up to higher consciousness. Because your spirit team would know that you would fall flat, and they're not interested in doing that to you.
Right, yeah.
So again, it's an inside job. You want to pay attention to what's draining you, and you want to support your authentic life.
Yeah. Let me ask you about your experiences with the cosmic realms and stargates, and any extraterrestrial experiences that you've had or you've been part of.
So, I'm a gray, and I'm not just a gray. I'm seated by the 12 tribes from this particular plane, and so I work with the tribes as they come forward to work with me, generally only for the cosmic evolution of the planet or for the people that work with me for their own evolution. So, for example, I was guided to go to Australia. The Palladians and the Greys were working with me on that one. They came to me in dream time. They pointed out that they wanted me to go about 50 miles up from Sydney, the coastline, and they wanted me to take people to a very specific area. And I did. I followed through. And when I went there, it was where a Lyran ship had fallen, and I brought a person that was on the ship. And she didn't remember it, but the minute she put her feet onto that grid system in that specific vortexial area, she came back into her memory, and that was a part of my work. That continues today, just like I'm taking people to Starseed Ireland. I'm working with the Palladians on that one, where they're asking me to go to a specific area to help with the awakening. So again, it's always about awakening. It's never something that's forced, and I'm never told to. I'm guided, and it's a co-creative relationship. It's not a top-down. It's a co-creative relationship. They're assisting me to help others awaken to their own memory cosmically and also their purpose here on the earth.
So when you take someone to one of these places and they put their feet on the ground and their memories come flooding back, how does that person typically experience that? What sort of questions come up? So you're there and you're the leader, so to speak, of that group. Do they ask you for input, advice, or is it something that they just go within and just really integrate the experience?
It's a full-blown awakening. It's like the veils drop and you're in. And it's a tender-hearted exchange because I've gone through these levels of awakening before, because I can empathetically feel what they're going through. I can guide them away from sometimes the hysteria that can come up when you are what is happening to me moment. Other times it can be a very beautiful moment where you're ready for it because your soul called you. And if there isn't a split where your ego is kicking in and trying to fight the situation, which I don't normally get, it can be like where I was just in Crystal Adventure. I was in Hot Springs, Arkansas. We were in a hotbed place to change. There's, you know, a magnetic grid, a crystalline grid, like actually the longest continuous crystalline grid underneath the water of Lake Washita. I got people in that water, you know, every day, basically helping them to clear their aura. And I was told by a star being that showed itself to me that you're going to have an experience. And the star being came forward in the water, you know, full blown. And people who hadn't seen or didn't have any previous clairvoyant were seeing, and people were feeling and having their own awakening experience. And again, that is just to accelerate because they said yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we're not quite at the point of here where we're going to take questions, but we're getting there. And just so that you can help guide people, especially those who haven't worked with you before, are there specific questions that you feel people should be asking you, or is it like it's just completely open, whatever comes through, or what should people be calling and asking you about?
So I really ask that they check in with their spirit. There's a few things that I won't do. And the only thing I won't do is tell you who you are. That's your job. That's for you to go deep within yourself and begin to pull those nuggets up and out. So in that level, I won't say you're a Pleiadian, you're Arcturian, you're this or whatever, because actually for me it does not matter. It's all about service. You know, for me it is just about service. But I never ask someone to, I like them to speak from their heart, let's put it that way. As long as they're not giving me their power, I will usually ask them to come and step back into their power and then start asking for more of a centered place.
Okay, wonderful. So everyone, if you'd like to speak with Althea, *2 to raise your hand, or if you're on the webinar page and you're not on your phone, then just go ahead and put your name and your location. We don't need your email address. Your name and location in the box with your question, and just hit submit, and that'll come across the screen. Actually, before we even take questions, there's one here from the web, Susan from Maryland. She's asking, what does it mean to be a gray? And so if you could just explain to Susan what a gray is.
Hi, Susan. So a gray for me is an extraterrestrial, but they have been on this planet not as long as, say, some of the others, like Pleiadians, Lyrans, and even some of the Arcturians. So they have been here on the planet for quite some time. I am not a part of any type of military experiment, I should say that. So I don't have any, you know, I don't take people's anything or try to scare them or anything like that. What a gray means for me is that we come from the Zeta Reticuli system, and it's quite large, and there are various groups. There's tall grays, short grays, medium grays. There's the hybrid system where they look more humanoid than they do gray. And then there's also the gray container. So it's like the standard spacesuit in the cosmic realm, and a lot of different races use it for intergalactic travel. So there's an actual suit, looks gray. But for me, I came to my memory of I had asked my team, my inner guidance system, to help remember my starseed heritage. And I did this probably about 20 years ago. And in Dreamtime, I was shown basically what the grays were about. And for me, this was people who work on the subconscious realm, and we're here to help people through the fear factor of awakening to cosmic consciousness, and that at a certain point in time in my lineage, there was a loss of, through cloning, a loss of what you would call our ability to replicate. And so many of us came back down here to go through the feeling body, to turn on the full-blown feeling body, and lead to no separation between us and anybody else. We were just simply an intellectual race, and that comes across. I'm very scientific-minded. A lot of my clients, some are in the sciences, and that's, we basically valued more science than we did the emotional body, because in previous attempts towards evolution, our emotional body was, how can we say it, it got overrun, and we were unable to meet our emotional markers. So it's almost like you become too emotional, like you see people today, and they just can't help it. They just can't get over, say, a death in the family or something that happened to them 20 years ago or eons ago. They're still holding that in their physical body. And so that emotional system was turned down. And now for many grays like myself, and not all grays because that wasn't their life stream, but it was mine, was to come back and fully turn it on 100%. So there is no separation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Let's before we go to the phones, let me ask this question. Let me ask you, what is a self-sourcing auric system?
So a self-sourcing auric system is something that I came back into this lifetime with the memory of. That means that I work not in a parasitic way where I take other people's energy. So I'm not getting my power from other people or their intellect or their intellectual knowledge. I'm basically bringing all of my energy within my auric field up and into my heart, my central column, and it's like generating my own internal battery. So my auric system is closed, and it works like a torus system. And in that torus system, it's regenerating, recycling my own energy. So I'm able to gain my own field or my own knowledge through my own activations, not through something outside of myself. So not through a system outside of myself, if that makes sense.
Okay, got it. Thank
it
you.
Actually goes back to the first time at Zep Tepe and Meg Benedicte, one of my peers, also teaches this, a self-sourcing system. It was taught by the Syrian Council back in the Zep Tepe time, of where you develop your own auric system and you turn on that Torah system so it's only feeding your own soul, so growing your own soul. And that goes back to the first time of Egypt.
Mm. Thank you. And then also, I wanted to find out about, so the topic is energetic cloud busting. And so tell us, I mean, you know, I keep on thinking of, there's a song out there about cloud busting, but I don't know what it is. Cloud busting, what is energetic cloud busting?
So it's a sense where when you come down here on this planet, what happens is an empathetic or an empath will start absorbing other people's energy. It's almost like a telephone line to know what's going on around you. You start to feel, it could be on the opposite end of the planet, it could be your neighborhood, it could be, you know, your best friend. You start to feel this other person's vibrations. But the negative side of that is that you start doing energy absorption, and you're also taking on that what I would call the karmic field or the work of another being. So for me, that would be a no-no. That's like an old shaman, once again, taking on the tribe and doing that work. It's very heavy-laden work. So as an empath, it's better to feel the energy, feel it in your heart, note what it is, and then move it out of your field. So I'm still sensory receptive, but I'm not what you would call the shelf to put everybody else's stuff on. I don't take it on.
So
I don't internalize that, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And so if you have like an open spleen or something like that, then you might be susceptible to absorbing people's energy, right?
If you have an area of weakness in your body, if your auric field is thin, you will take on and be, yes, you can, your field can be penetrated by others. And this is, we're essentially living in a parasitic system. It's a duality system. And so there are people on this planet that do know how to tap into other energy fields and use them like batteries.
So if I'm empathetic, then it would be really behoove me to really practice setting strong and healthy boundaries.
Extremely. But again, I would say not only creating your boundaries, but centering yourself, you know, setting those healthy boundaries, but also learning to let go. The biggest hiccup that I'm seeing right now out in the field is people are holding on to. If you're holding on to the past, if you're holding on to the woundedness, you're basically keeping it within your body. You're keeping that energy within your body. You're holding yourself up from your own evolution, essentially.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right. Well, good. Interesting stuff.
I forgot who said it. It was like, Ian, oh, let me think about this. It was the pain you saw. I can't remember. It'll come up. But there's this really great quote by an Andromedan, and it's like, you know, essentially pointing to that the pain that you carry lifetime after lifetime is basically the love you're withholding. And, you know, and so it's important to remember that as you're holding on to energy, you're really saying no to love.
Oh, okay.
Painful it is, but it's true.
Yeah. Whew, okay. So let's all practice letting go and releasing.
Is it too much?
No, it's not too much at all. No, it's not too much. No. Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm also empathetic, so I've got to also learn to let go. All right, let's go to the phone, shall we? I'd love to have some people get a chance to speak with you. So let's, I'm just going to go to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. The last four digits of the phone number calling are 3197. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, you're on live.
Hi, my name is Brandy Thiel, and I'm actually north of Coeur d'Alene. I'm from Bonners Ferry, Idaho.
Okay.
I am from Lyra. I was kind of confused at what questions we could ask, so I'm just kind of open.
Well, Brandy Sue, what do you want to ask?
Well, I've been having an issue with my 10th layer of my auric field, and I was wondering if there's any kind of insight that you can give me.
Do I have permission to work with your higher self?
Yes.
Okay, one moment. Have you looked at your right-hand side to see who you're letting in your auric field?
I have not.
Okay. I would suggest that you look over to that right-hand side. Look over to the male and see what's been on your mind, like what's been going through, almost like a looping system. See what's been going through. Pay attention to that. Because they're drawing me over to your right-hand side.
I have been seeing, like, a lot of Buddha lately. And I know I'll hear, like, little things, you know, like the little things, or Wayne Dreyer actually comes to me a lot, and Isis, but that's not male.
So as you're looking over, like, when you go to meditation and you're sitting there and you're looking over, do you have sight?
I see, feel, and hear.
Okay, so when you close your eyes, I want you to look over on that right-hand side about 15 degrees from center. So if you're looking forward and your head's forward, go 15 degrees center and start to look into the field and say, ask it to reveal itself, because I'm seeing like almost like triangle open, and so they're showing me a portal. I'm seeing a being there. So you want to explore that. And then also take your right hand out that 15 degrees and start to feel your auric field. Start to see how it feels. Even though you've given it some layers, you know, just imagine it being right there at your palm and start to feel it. What's it feel like in your palm? See, mine starts to heat up. So you want to start playing with that and let it reveal itself to you.
Okay. I was getting like, it was kind of like a bubble. I don't know. It's kind of like blobby for a while. It was going
I felt that too. I felt my hand heating up, but they're showing me there's heat. So you've got some energy there, and you want to explore it. So essentially, look through the triangle and start to see who's showing up. Because I see a being come forward, but I don't want to go too much into deep. You know, this would be a session.
Okay.
So it's like as you're feeling it and asking for it to come forward, you'll start to get the message. But it's on your right hand side, 15 degrees from center.
I appreciate you so much. Namaste. Thank you so much.
I love the Lyrans.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, let's go to Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and 6077 are the last four digits.
Hi, Hello. This is Nan. Hello,
Hi,
this
Nan.
Is Nan. Hi.
Hi,
well,
Nan.
I don't know what. Hi, this is fascinating. I don't know what flavor of starseed I am, but I'm told I'm a starseed, and I also have a constant, it's like the old time analog TVs with snow when you don't have a station tuned in.
Oh,
and
I love it.
It's constant yellow dots, and I think there's purple, and Donna Eden said actually my life color, there's 6 to 7% of people have two life colors. I'm one of them, and I think I'm seeing my own light. I think that's what's happening, because at dusk when I hike sometimes, I think there's a car behind me because the leaves in front of me seem to be oddly faintly illuminated, and I turn around and there's nothing there.
Lovely. So, okay. Well, first of all, Steamboat is where my family and I go for our respite, so yay, Steamboat and Strawberry Springs.
Well, actually, right, this is my cell phone. I'm now in the Santa Cruz Mountains. I was out in Steamboat for a while and kept – it's a sweet place.
It is a sweet place. So what I would suggest to you is that we work on your antenna, okay, because my inner TV was turned on from birth, and so I was watching like precognition, you know, 20 years into the future. So my inner TV, that's why I call my YouTube channel Inner TV, my inner TV was far more fascinating than what was on the tube at, you know, 1970s. So what I would suggest to you is that we work on your antenna, working to get your system, your Merkaba, pointing straight up and start working on that. So one of the things that you can do just by your own natural power and your own intention is start to imagine a beautiful, I'm going to say rainbow-colored triangle. That's what came forward. Do I have permission to work through higher self, first of all?
Yeah, as long as it doesn't interfere with my, as long as it doesn't interfere with the healing I'm getting that we're nobody's supposed to work on me.
So no, I'm not going to be doing any work on you.
Cool.
So I'm just going to ask your higher self, because they're showing me ahead of you. So I'm a telepath, and what happens is I get the information before I can even get the words out to you. And so sometimes I forget to ask. It's just trying to slow myself down. I'm trying to slow myself down, which has been I'm a work in progress. So let's just say that.
We all are.
I'm just asking. I saw, yes, for sure. So I saw a rainbow triangle above your head. So allow that rainbow triangle to just start to harmonize above your head, and literally the top of the triangle pointing all the way back to source, and start to clear out that channel, that tube, like a straw above your head. And there's a little bit of headache coming in there. So you want to start removing any energetic imprints, any type of energetic signatures that are not aligned to your unique soul signature. So we're clearing out. So you can, if you, since you said you like the purple or feel the purple kinship to purple, try the violet flame, clearing that from the top of your head or top of your crown or that top of that pyramid all the way back up to source, clearing out that channel, and see if that helps remove some of that static noise.
So that's what I see. I see like stuck God energy or something.
What I saw was the minute it started, that triangle started to balance the crown chakra up forward, I started to get a headache. So that's telling me that your vibration isn't in tune and that you've taken on some energy that isn't yours.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
It's clearing out. Clearing out.
Thank you.
And just do it by intending. That's all I do, right?
You can start by intending. You can make a session with me as well, but you can start with intending, which is your power, your place of power.
Mm-hmm.
Drop into your heart. And really, sometimes when we learn a lot of techniques, we put those techniques above our own power. And what I'd like to say is play around. Maybe even throw the techniques out and just imagine your antenna in your own way above your head, going all the way back to source, and starting to tune
right
to your own vibration, sound, signature, color. Try that.
Okay. And Amanda Hopkins told me that I have it's something like a tambourine, like so I try to get, when source energy comes in, it bounces back. So this could help clear
That's interesting. I did see a ring above you. I did see that. I wouldn't have called it a tambourine because I didn't
not
look
tambourine,
at the
energy. What do you call it? A rebounder.
interesting. Well, you can have a ring pass knot where something was placed in there. You can also remove that if that isn't. You know, oftentimes what happens is when our personality isn't really ready for to know itself more fully, we can create on our own stop gaps so that we can have a think about as we walk about whether or not we're really ready or wanting. And so if you've placed something within your field, be patient with your human and talk to your inner human so that you can decide whether or not this is a time that you really want to know yourself or you want to know yourself in increments. And it's okay. Nan, I want you to know it's absolutely perfect and there's no harm, no foul. It isn't easy to carry knowledge. There is responsibility to that. I have a responsibility. If I start to play a low ball game, a dirty game, I drop in vibration.
All my life.
And what happens is then you're swimming in the swamp. And I have no desire to do that. So I credit where credit is due. I source where source is due. I speak my truth. And when I don't and I make a mistake, I say so. You see, because it keeps me clean and clear. And so as we start to learn this, and we step and we fall and we falter, we just pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and keep on going. So this isn't about self-punishment. We're done with that. That's what keeps us stuck. It's about improvement. And so you can keep those rings, like you said to me. You know, you can talk to my higher self, but I don't do anything to you because that's called force, and I'm no longer in that industry. Nor do I ever want to be in that industry. Okay?
So I might have put, this is going to be naughty here, so I might have put a cosmic condom on myself. Is that
yes, and that's fine. And you know why? When I was called to bring people to Australia, many were called. One stepped up, okay? And I talked to a lot of people, and they said, I'm not ready. And they said that to me. And one person said to me, and sometimes this still happens, someone will say, just tell me to go. And I said, I can't do that. You must step up. Because when you go to a full-blown awakening, you don't want to turn around and point your finger at Althea and say, what did you do to me?
Right.
Because I didn't do anything.
Right.
Your soul's doing it to you.
Right.
You
thank
it, girl.
Thank you, man.
Thank you,
much
Ian.
Love to you,
thank
man.
You, Althea.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
You too.
Bye now.
Blessings.
Take care.
Blessings.
Yeah. Let's take a couple of web questions. There's a lot of questions here, so I'm going to take a few. And so this is Sage from Santa Fe. And if I'm asking the question, Althea, and it's something that you can't get into because you need dialogue, then just let me know. So Sage is asking if she's an Earthseed or a Starseed. You already said that you're not going to answer that type of question.
Well, there's a difference. Okay, there is a difference between an Earthseed and a Starseed. And Earthseeds, which I know a few, Earthseeds are people who are born from the Earth, and they grow a soul. So they'll be a rock, a tree, a plant, and they evolutionary themselves up. So they have a lot more magnetic force because they come from the Earth. You see, they're from this particular body, planet, and then they can grow their soul. A star seed, like myself, has come to this planet, but has been through what you could call galactic universities, through other planetary systems.
Okay, thank you. Debbie from Ontario is asking, any guidance that would help her spiritually evolve? So, If they write in, Althea, it's assumed that they have given permission. Do you feel the same way?
And is it Debbie from Ontario?
Yeah.
Okay, let me check in. So what her team is saying that she's asking too vague of a question, and what her team's been trying to do for her is to, oh, poor girl, is to get her to look once again within, to really start to feel the vibration and the frequency of her heart. So for her to start narrowing it down, what will light up my heart? What will light up my heart today? Start showing me my heart. Start showing me source. Start showing me soul. What is going to empower me today and in the near future? And what I'm starting to see is that she tends to lift up out of her feet, a little bit out of her body, almost where she doesn't want to feel her own vibration. And what I would be guiding you into is to step more into your body, get physical, maybe take a yoga class, something where you're actually in your physical body and you can start to feel your heart again. So as you're working with your heart, that vibration, when I said I was pulled to these sites, man, you couldn't, I mean, it was just like all of a sudden Mexico's on my brain and I can't get Mexico out of my brain. You know, it's like a pulling. It's an overstimulation from want to go to one area, to do one thing. And yes, it'll hit my intellect because I have to make tickets, but my heart's saying go, go, go. I hope that makes sense. So I'd like to see her get into her body more and begin a dialogue with her own inner heart. What do I need to know or feel or sense today, present time?
Thank you. So this question is actually related, but in the opposite way. So this is Missy from Portage. Firstly, she says, wow, I resonate deeply with every word. Thank you so much, Missy. But here's her question or her statement. I don't feel comfortable in my home. I want to leave, and I don't want to come back when I go out. Can you read anything that's important for me?
Okay, Missy from Portage. Okay. I feel like there's a lot of hate in her environment, just hate energy. And hate, when it's in the opposite of love, can be a great teacher. So I would start to say, when I'm in that environment, of course, shielding, right? And I'd also, her team is showing me, place a beautiful, radiant, divine triangle within her own home space, maybe her bedroom space, someplace where she's starting to balance the energy. So she's literally saying, I'm here. This is my vibration. I have the right to be here and in this room. And this vibration is in coordinates with my vibration. So she's creating space. Balanced space for herself. Yep, that's going to help her. And they're showing me it's going to make her, allow her to open up more to her diamond self. So there's some. It's like she's going to start having some accelerated upward expansion. But there's a disconnection that happens a little bit. They're showing me future forward timeline with her, where it's like she'll start to feel it and then she'll disconnect again. So I would start working on a safety piece for you, something where you feel safe wherever you're going, spinning out and away from your energetic field, anything that doesn't feel like it's a safe environment, safe energy for you. Start spinning away from your field so you can start to feel your vibration. So the truth is, as my mom said to me one time, you're a woman when you can walk anywhere on this planet and feel like you're at home. And what she was essentially saying to me is, in your own vibration, you're free to walk this planet. And so, yes, I can go into very heated situations as a physical empath. And yes, I can feel it. I can go to concerts. I can, you know, I was at Standing Rock. I can do these type of things. But what I'm doing is I'm really, once again, in my own energetic field. And in that field, I'm balanced. So I'd like her to start her homework, for Missy to start her homework on creating that boundary. And when she starts to get slippery, step back up, strengthen her triangle, you know, stepping into that triangle into her bedroom, and see if she can start to feel like she's more safe. And then as she begins her safety, this is her training, you know, she's in the heat of it, then she can start looking to some other place that might be more beneficial for her.
Okay, thank you. So this is a question from Michelle in Mechanicsville. It's a web question. And I think this would be pertinent or germane to everyone on the call. She's asking if you can tell her a couple of things to help raise her vibration. She's ready to be awakened.
When you're ready and you say a signal to the universe, I am ready. I am here. I am here. I am here. What you're doing is you're popping, like your auric field is lighting up. And when it lights up, the other realms, the higher realms, your team's source, the whole bit, can start to see you. It's like you just turn on the grid. And at this point in time, what I would like you to do is not only just say, hey, I'm ready, it's more like, I'm here. This is where I am. I'm in my physical body. I'm awake here. I am responsible for this body. And as you start to feel that sense of responsibility to yourself, you can then say to your higher teams, your I am presence, I am now ready for the next step to reveal itself for me. What's the next step for me? Ask these type of dialogue questions and let it come. So I ask, I let go, and then I receive.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. So I would love to take this opportunity to have people understand how they can work with you. So I'm going to direct people to follow along. So everyone, if you're on the webinar page, then if you'd like to take a look at how you can work with Althea, you can click the orange offer button underneath her photograph on the webinar page, and that'll take you to her page, which says private session with Althea. And the link or the URL, the address, if you're not on the webinar page, if you want to type it in, is www.wotasummit.com. So wotasummit.com/Althea, which is A-L-T-H-E-A, everything's lowercase, wotasummit.com/Althea. And you'll take a look at the page, and you can follow along. So, Althea, I would love it if you would just, you know, share with people how they can work with you and some of the things that they can work with you on. Clearly, you've been able to show people some of your gifts today. But just give them maybe a broader sense of things they can talk to you about when they have a session with you.
So my sessions, I'm only offering a 30-minute just because I'll be doing some back-to-back Starseed Adventure travels, both to France and Ireland, coming up shortly. So what I'm offering is a 30-minute with myself. You're welcome to ask me anything as long as you're staying within your power. I will kind of gently remind you to stay in your power. And essentially, my work is energetic. I will look over at your energetic system. That's what I do when I first connect with you and ask for permission. I call in your team. And when I do that, I'm looking over at how you are constructed energetically. So this is, I see everything through sacred geometry. I look at to see how your sacred geometry is forming. Is it in alignment and where you are in your soul's evolution? I work with your team, basically your higher self, to my higher self, and I start to fine-tune your energy field with you. I don't normally get mental sessions, but sometimes someone will come in with just a lot of questions, and that's what they want answered. So again, majority of my work is energetic, and I will begin to help you reconfigure your energy field so that you are remaining in balance with whatever you have going on at the moment. And sometimes I can move into those emotional realms if that's what's needed, if something has kind of knocked you off center and it keeps repeating over and over and over and you're not getting to the bottom of it, we'll go there. But the majority of my work is energetic.
Great. So they can work with you. It's 30 minutes, either phone, Skype, or Zoom. So Zoom is the video one, right? So you can actually have a visual.
They're welcome to. I work with my eyes closed with a black mask on, and they're welcome to stare at me. Some people like to. Other people don't really care because I do ask you to close your eyes as we're going in. But some people do like to see the face, and that's fine. And I'm comfortable with people staring at me with my eyes closed anyways. But, you know, I'm really having you go back into your inner world. I'm asking you to look within. And this is advanced work in that sense, because a lot of, you know, beginners tend to look outside of themselves for information, and I'm really bringing you back in to put you in a state, in a seat of power, which is, you know, basically peer-to-peer, and we go from there.
So would you say that there is a certain type of person who is who mostly gravitates towards you, someone, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but someone who is looking to take the next step in their spiritual evolution? I mean, who really gravitates towards working with you?
I tend to work with very advanced people, to be honest. I've worked with people, and just this week alone, I had someone who called me up and said, listen, I heard you talking about the Crystal Adventure, and she's like, been there, done that, blew wide open, and now I'm in this blown wide open state. Can we work on fine-tuning some of my perceptions or energy? And so it is like that. You know, it's like I'm open, I'm on path, I'm having these experiences. You know, can you help me understand or balance or with direction? So say, for example, I'm having someone who is thinking of moving. Instead of me saying, oh, yes, you should go here, which is, you know, taking their power away, I'll say, what's your three top destinations, and let's go in and fill it together. And they can feel the energetic presence, what that place is offering them, what the next place would be offering them, and they can go through it so they're making an empowered choice. And once again, it's putting them back in a state of integration and where it's not like they're dependent on me.
Yeah, I can really, really feel the difference, you know, when you say that. You know, energetically, I can feel the difference between receiving the answer and feeling into the energy and what the energy wants to tell me.
It's so surprising. I'm so glad you said that, because I had one person, she had five places, and she was shocked and surprised at the information just in that 60-minute session that we were having together, where she was feeling into these destinations, and all of a sudden the information was flooding her system. She could see what she was not only going to get, but she could see what was positive, what was negative, and what was neutral. And it was so clear to her, and it was exciting for me, you know, because these dry reads of really helping someone, you know, in the beginning stages, it's more of a mothering, and I feel like that's not best use of my energetic system. It's like, let's get knee deep here and get you firing up and onto your path. You know, your path here for you. And what's the hiccup that's keeping you from moving forward? What's the hiccup that you've been not doing these lifetimes over that's been keeping you stuck and is becoming painful?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it is so profound, the difference. You know, everyone who's listening, you know, if you can, you know, really feel into the difference between just really feeling so much more empowered, and the word that keeps on coming to mind is whole, as in wholeness. So it's an aspect of wholeness. You know, maybe it's just coming to me, and I don't have the right words to explain that, but it just seems to me it's so much more unity consciousness, where you actually have the, you know, the engagement with the energy. It's just
right.
A more whole process and a more unified process versus just being pointed in the right direction or pointed in a direction.
Right. And the stimulation that comes with it. It's like once you get the habit, it's a habit, right? Just like we have energetic clearing habits, good hygiene habits. Once you get into the habit of self-sourcing, it's almost like the conversation, well, it's not almost, it is the conversation. You start dialoguing with the universe. Like, for example, I mean, I had a full-blown awakening 2 weeks ago that just, you know, minced meat, basically. I mean, I saw my higher self. I was feeling it's massive potential, and I realized I am playing so small. My human's playing so small. Like, I have to step up. You know, this is bigger stuff I need to be doing. And it's not a spiritual ego. I'm talking step up in love, in my expression, you know, in my unconditionality for the world. This was like a big wake-up call for myself. And when you're in that state of wholeness, what you're essentially offering other people is that. You're not saying, hey, come along and, you know, let me take your $20 and, you know, give you a little carrot. You're saying, here, let me spend time with you and show you that sense your subtle energy field and see how it's working, and see how you're blindsiding yourself and what you can do to expand your experience, to move out of that kind of confinement and into something more beneficial to you now. And keep on going because it's an endless journey, right? And together, whatever they're learning and their higher self is showing me, I'm learning. It's exciting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. So everyone, if you'd like to work with Althea, certainly, if you're not looking at the link now, you'll get it tonight. You'll get it via email, plus it'll be sent out over the weekend as well. But her session's available. It's a deeply discounted session at 111. We already had this discussion, Althea and myself, so you can actually split that as well if you wanted to do that. So you could work with her, and if things are a little tight right now, you could always split that in half. So that is available to you as part of the Wisdom Summit because you're part of our community. So thank you, Althea, for making that available.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, I'd love to go back to the phones. You got some more time for the phones?
Of course.
Let's do it. Okay, so Leslie in Holes Lake, Washington, I've been drawn to you, well, drawn to pick on you for, not pick on you, but choose you for a while, Leslie. So here you are. Leslie, you're live with
Thank
Althea.
You. Yes, these days I call myself Falcon, but I'm not in Holes Lake. I'm actually in Taos, New Mexico.
Oh, so, wow.
Hi, Leslie.
But thank
or
you
Falcon.
So much for taking my call. I appreciate it very much. I can't seem to find my center. I know this sounds crazy. Most people have a strong sense of self. And I don't know if it's because of the crazy childhood, but I can't seem to find my center. And I can't meditate because I have ADHD. And usually people say, oh, just meditate. I'm like, yeah, well,
So meditation's reception, right? You're receiving energy, okay? And the thing is when you have what you call ADHD, you're actually already receiving energy. You're receiving too much energy, right? So it's like to sit there and just be like pour it into you. What I would suggest to you is that you start to do some form of Tai Chi or yoga. Essentially what it does is those two are generators. They're going to move the energy within your field, okay? You're going to learn to move subtle energy. You're going to get in touch with that subtle energy. Some type of form movement is what I'm saying, whether you're walking, some type of kinesthetic movement, just to get the energy out so you're not storehousing it. You're building the charge, but you're also releasing the charge, okay? So I'm talking to you more on electrical engineer level, so you're building charge, moving charge out, so that you're free flowing, okay? Because what I'm feeling is a little bit of split in your heart, where you have two divided areas in your field, and it's not necessarily merging as one. And so, just starting with
my left side, I keep having this like shock that runs up the left side of my body.
Mm-hmm. And not the right. And your field is moving to the right. So you're leaning to the right to avoid the charge. So what I'd like to see you do is build the charge, but move it out of your body. So if you can just imagine yourself, whether you're riding your bike or going for a walk or even putting your bare foot on the ground as you're walking, I'm now intending to release this charge for my field. Okay? That way you can remove the stimulus the overstimulation, the electrical charge in your body out. Okay? You might even want to consider, I mean, I do this when I'm going through major gates, when I'm going through, say, ley lines, a lot of ley lines, I'll wear copper bracelets, and it's just to keep my auric field from basically bursting out because I'm doing a lot of energy work. So you can start to work with maybe some metals and see if you can kind of harmonize your field, balance your field, right wrist, left wrist. Just see what that would be like for you. See if it overstimulates you and works the opposite. See if you become too kinesthetic or start to feel everybody's emotions as you're holding on to copper.
Oh, I already am. I'm like off the charts to empathic. And
yeah, see, I sense that, but I'm almost like I'm wanting to balance your energy, which I can't do
I
in
wish
this, you
know,
would.
2 minutes
of talking with you.
Okay.
But I'm giving you some tips, Falcon, so that you can release the charge.
Okay.
Okay? Bridging the gap between the two, that male and female. So you're being receptive, which is an electrical charge, and it's like you're being receptive, but you also want to take action. That's how you build that balance within the auric field. And right now you're just receiving, and it's blowing you out.
So isn't it the right side that's supposed to be the part that takes action?
Yes, but your right side's leaning right because it's trying to avoid that electrical receiving side of you.
Oh, so it's not working right because it's, okay, I got it.
It's like, so imagine I'm about to pour a bucket of ice water on you, right? And it hits the left side, but you jerk to the right. That's kind of what your energy field is doing.
Okay.
So what you want to do is learn to balance it by releasing the electrical charge so it has some place to go. One of the ways to do it is bare earth, really releasing that energy. You can release it from the crown, but if you get a little too mental, you know, with the releasement, you want to, right, which is the intellectual, you want to come down to the ground. You can even bend over if you want. Put your, you know, like your...
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, in the winter in New Mexico, you can't go outside because it's too, like, 15 degrees.
I love you, but I live in Colorado, and I go
out
every day,
I put my feet
on the snow, and I ground because I do this for a living, and it would run so much charge that if I don't go out, even when it's cold, I will. And then the other thing I do is I take, you know, the magnesium salt baths so I can release electrical charge from my field. So, yes, I mean, this is daily auric maintenance, and I do it. I will put my feet on that snow.
Okie doke. Well, no more excuses for me then.
That's
all right.
All right.
Thank you very much. Much love.
Thanks, Sam.
Bye now. You know, it also sounds like she's able, Leslie would really benefit from working with you privately to do that balancing.
I'd love to. Mm-hmm.
So, Leslie, if you're still listening, that's something that maybe you should consider. So let's go to South Carolina, Rock Hill, South Carolina. At least that's what my screen says. Who knows where you are? 1478, the last four digits. Hi there. If your phone says you're from Rock Hill, you're on live with Althea. Are you there? Anyone there? 3, 2, 1. Nope. Okay, let's go to, Kitchener, Waterloo, another one from Ontario.
Hello.
You're on live.
Hello, this is Ruth Anna, and thank you for picking my call, my number. Hi, Althea. We had a one-on-one a few months back, and I have more peace within myself. I'm more centered. And my question is if there's something that you can see that would help me with the business that I want to move forward with, energetic body work, and I'm procrastinating for some reason.
Yes, you said you were taking your time. That's what they just said. You're taking your time.
Yeah.
What is it you're trying to work out? It's like they're showing me musical scales.
All right. Okay. This is the other thing that I talked to you about is the music and playing the zither. And I've been playing and more, and it feels so good. And to balance this out, my body work, because I know I'm good with bodies, to balance this out? Like, again, you said you can just, you know, do one thing at a time, like focus on one and get this done. And then the music, and I'm thinking, well, it's more pragmatic to do the energy work because I can get clients, and I always, and I'm good with music and bringing people in, but I have an old paradigm or whatever that I can't make a living with music.
The money, I see that. I see that. The energy work is, you are right, it will bring you money, okay?
Yes.
Overall satisfaction, that's something you want to ask. Okay, so take care of the money issue first, and then start asking your soul, I want overall satisfaction with my life. I want to feel satisfied with what I'm giving and sharing and receiving.
Yeah.
Okay, and receiving. That's your thing. So it's like, come back to the receiving. Yes, you are right. You will make money on the energy work. No doubt. They told me that right away, right? So you've got that going. You've set that up in motion. They show me your musical scales, this music that you're interested in, you know, and so you have that on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
So you might decide, and I think you already are, that you're considering to come to that in a back, like put that aside. One of the things you can start to do is introduce that in some form, some way into your energy work. You know how like some people do that 741 hertz or the 528, you know, something where you're in conjunction with your body work. Because what's happening now is so many people are awakening. What they're needing is that vibrational cue, that sound, because we're going up higher and higher, that sound to balance their field. And yes, there's people that have already put out and produced, but that isn't your unique soul signature. And remember, it's your unique soul signature that they're coming to work with you, okay, because they're in resonance with you, not anybody else, with you. So as you start to think about that music down the road, you can start thinking how you can incorporate it anew with your private practice. Make sense?
Oh, totally. That's what I'm feeling, but you put words around
it. That's what I'm feeling.
Thank you.
That's what I'm feeling in you.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah, and you've just perfectly framed it. Thank you so much, Alzina. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you.
So exciting.
You.
Thank
Thanks
you so
for
much
calling
for
in.
Thank
Blessings.
You.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Well, Althea, I wanted to thank you for being here. It's been so amazing. You've been of such amazing service, and it's been such a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much. Is there anything that you are being guided to share with us as we bring this to a little bit of a close?
I do, and it's something that's been on my mind's heart. A lot of us are being called in the global act. In a global act to start move into groups, whether it's online, teleseminars, you know, and start to begin to hold space, a harmonic space from the heart, our own vibration, and begin to offer up a prayer, a blessing, an intention to the earth so that our waters no longer recede away from, but actually start forming anew and coming into a higher state of vibration so that our waters start to flow again. Now, we have a drought in Australia where people are really suffering, and we have the fires in California as well as elsewhere. And so as we start to feel that draw, join groups, add to your passion, your prayer, your intention to the earth because she needs it.
Absolutely. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for you know, not just the words, but the vibration that you've just shared with the whole group. So I just pray that that vibration lands on everyone's heart and it resonates, and everyone takes that information, that vibration, and just feels the compassion for the earth, the compassion for others, just grow within themselves, within their beings. Thank you, thank you. Well, Althea, thank you again. It's been so amazing, so happy to have you on the show for sharing your gifts and just being a wonderful offering for the community. So much love to you and much appreciation.
Much love to you and everyone. Thank you so much. I love you.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for being here. Appreciate you being here, being part of the community and listening in and doing your part wherever you are. Thank you so much. And we thank Divine Mother, Divine Father, Mother Earth and Father Sun, all the ancient ones and all the beautiful divine beings of love, light, power and service for supporting us and for bringing us together into this space and for building this community, the wisdom community. We didn't build it. We're just facilitators. We're just curators. We're here together as a collective consciousness. So thank you. Thank you, everyone. All right, everyone. Much love. Take care. Bye now.